Welcome into another episode of the Patriots Podcast. I'm Sean, he's JJ.
Hello.
All right, well, it's playoff season. How about this?
Playoff time, baby.
Patriots are hosting the Tennessee Titans in the divisional round this weekend. Saturday night football, we got shades of the snowball, kind of. This is going to be way too warm for snow, but...
Yeah, it's kind of a bummer it's on Saturday night at 8. I'd much rather a Sunday game, but that's okay.
Why?
I don't know. I don't like watching football Saturday night at 8.
Yeah, but it's Patriots playoff football.
Yeah, that's true.
I understand it's not the most riveting matchup that we could possibly see, but that's next week.
It's the best matchup we could have possibly had.
Yeah, we lucked the fuck out.
I mean, we get the Titans, as everyone knows. They went 9-7. The other 9-7 teams were Buffalo, Baltimore, and the Chargers. Chargers and Baltimore obviously didn't make it because of some tiebreaker shit, and it was the Titans and Buffalo. I would have probably rather played Titans out of all of them and would have been much more afraid of any of those teams, especially the Chargers or the Ravens.
Yeah, absolutely. I think everybody's on board for that.
Yeah.
No, I didn't realize initially the Chargers beat the Bills head-to-head, and still the Bills got the tiebreaker over them. That must be infuriating for Chargers fans, which there are none, but... How? Because it doesn't go by head-to-head. For whatever reason, wild card rules are different than, like, home field advantage rules.
That's bullshit.
Yeah. Like, wild card rules, it goes to your record inside the conference first instead of head-to-head. I don't know why. Bizarre.
Yeah, it's weird.
Anyway, the Titans are coming in after their victory this Sunday. No, Saturday. Saturday over the Chiefs. Big-time comeback victory. However... We got our podcast done on Wednesday last week, and so we missed the fireworks
that happened
on Friday. The Patriots practiced on like Wednesday and Thursday outdoors in just great, especially Thursday, crazy conditions, windy, snowy, blizzard conditions.
Yep.
And then ESPN, those whiny little bitches, wait until 7 a.m. Friday morning when the Patriots have a day off to release their shit.
Yeah.
Why did they wait? Why didn't they do it on Thursday? This guy said he's been working on the story for months, and he couldn't do it on a day that they were at the facility. He had to wait till a Friday morning, so they wouldn't be able to respond to it until the next week.
Oh, yeah. It was perfectly planned timing. He was working on that for months, they said?
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Well, he's got sources that go back years. Yeah.
Years?
He's got sources, just people he talks to, people he has relationships with. And so he's been getting information from them periodically.
Oh, yeah.
And this goes back to the Jimmy Garoppolo trade. That's 2 months ago.
Yeah, I guess.
That was over 2 months ago.
And then I don't know. I read the whole thing, and it really seemed like an opinion piece to me.
Well,
I mean, no one's name on the sources, and everyone has alluded to that. And it's a lot of foregone conclusions that really just had no obvious bearings. I mean, it basically was an article that told us, okay, everything that the Patriots have told you and everything they've done in the past so many years and all these personalities, that's wrong. That's not who they are. They're completely different people than you'd expect. The things they say are lies, and that's that. And it's like, and I'm sure people will be like, oh, that's not what it said. But I mean, when you look at it, it talked about Belichick's personality, talked about how Kraft does things, and it talked about how Brady does things. And mostly, I mean, it talked about Brady as though everything we knew in the past has just died over the last year for some reason. He's gotten over that because he turned 40. He no longer wants to work. He no longer has a chip on his shoulder. He no longer wants tough coaching. I mean, that was the biggest shocker to me. It's like, he's always said this. And every interview he's ever had, he's like, I know I have to work the hardest. I'm never going to get over that. And it's finally like, oh, sources have said he's not like that anymore. It's like, what?
Yeah, the guy wins 3 Super Bowls before 27. Has the greatest quarterback season of all time, at least regular season-wise, in 2007 before his 30th, like at his 30th birthday. And now he wins a couple Super Bowls around his 40th birthday, and all of a sudden he gets a big ego.
Right.
It's like
not 10 years ago.
You would be way more susceptible in your mid-20s to get in a big head.
Absolutely. And then all the stuff that happened with the Deflategate crap and Brady, you know, and his wife, and he basically said, we took on a mantra of, you know, only look at the positive things, you control what you control, all that stuff, and, you know, don't look at the negatives, don't fester on the negatives and stuff like that. No, that's all nonsense now, too. I mean, it's almost like this article was like, okay, the Patriots had a few arguments, and that's it, it's over. They all that was bigger than the winning. That's bigger than, I mean, if this was not a 13-3 team that had the coming the MVP or soon to be MVP and the best coach of all time. I mean, if we went like 5-11 this year or like barely got into the playoffs at 9-7, I think this article could have a lot more to it. But the fact that they're still winning, they're still cranking it out, and it's like, did you guys realize you just added more fuel to this fire when they really didn't have any more? There was nothing else they could really hang on to. Everyone's finally calling them the best and the greatest ever. Everyone's calling it the Gus dynasty. Everyone, like, finally, there's nothing that they can, like, Belichick can finally grab onto and say, like, see, this is what they're saying about us. And he always gets it to rile people up. They didn't have that this year. That was all over. They was all in the past. And now finally they come out with this article right before our first playoff game. You think they're going, oh, they're on to us. No, they're probably like, are you fucking kidding? This is what they fucking think of us? We're going to show those motherfuckers, you know?
Yeah, it's nice fuel for a team that was the overwhelming favorite at the beginning of the season, is still the favorite going into the playoffs, home field advantage, all the whole nine yards to it. It did seem like a ton of speculation, a ton of jumping to conclusions. And there was a lot of talk about Alex Guerrero, and a lot of that doesn't seem nearly as important to me as going over the Jimmy Garoppolo trade and what that meant. I think especially here, we kind of glossed over it, and we're like, because we're both emotionally attached to Tom Brady, so we're like, yeah, just whatever you got to do. I don't care if we lose for 20 years.
Yeah.
I don't care if the team is picking in the top 10 for 10 years after he's done. Just don't end this on a sour note.
Right.
So, like, that's what we're thinking. And that's what Bob Kraft is thinking, because he has to protect the fan base. He has to do what, as the owner of the team, he has to make sure people are interested in his product.
Right.
Where Bill Belichick's responsibility is to make sure he puts the best team on the field for as long as he possibly can.
Right.
And so that is, they have dueling interests right there.
Right. That's so, a conflict. Absolutely. Yeah.
So maybe it would be in Belichick's best interest to do his job to keep Jimmy around, whereas Kraft's job is to keep Tom Brady around so he keeps the fan base completely engaged and not sour at all.
Right.
So when you have competing interests like that, something's got to give, and Kraft owns the freaking team. So
he's going to make that decision.
He's going to make the decision. And there's little evidence that Belichick was ready to move on from Brady to go to Garoppolo. You're not going to move on from a five-time Super Bowl winning quarterback to go to a guy who's played 18, or what was it, six quarters. He played six quarters
right
before we traded him. And we're not having a discussion nearly like this if Jimmy G doesn't go 5-0
right
with the Niners.
This wouldn't even be a point. That's the thing. It's like this article was fueled by Jimmy playing well. Mm-hmm. If Jimmy didn't play well, it would have been a completely different story, like you just said. And I mean, I don't think it's as cut and dry as Kraft going, yeah, I want to keep Brady and Bill going. Well, I want to keep Garoppolo and them having it. Jimmy Garoppolo has a choice here. You know, he was the one making the decision.
Yeah.
Regardless of what that's what I don't get, because regardless of what the franchise wanted to do, it's ultimately Jimmy's decision. I'm going to either sign with you or I'm not. That's the decision.
Yeah, the team's hands were tied, for sure.
Right. And it's abundantly clear that even in the article they stated, well, they offered Jimmy multiple $15 to $17 million contracts a year for three, four, 5 years, whatever the deal was, which is a pretty good deal, and they turned it down. So to me, as a business, you're going, oh, shit, now we either have to pay this guy who hasn't done anything for us yet more than the guy who's going to be the reigning MVP. Can we make that decision? Because Brady's only making, what, 18 or 19 million on the books right now?
Yeah, something like that.
Okay, so that means they would have to go above that, clearly, because they were trying to offer him lower than that. They couldn't give Garoppolo an exact, okay, you're going to start here, because he might not be better than Brady for the next 2 or 3 years at the way Tom's going.
Well, Brady's going to win the MVP this year.
He's winning the MVP this year, and next year it's looking like he's going to be pretty damn good as well.
Yeah, he'll probably, at least before the season, he'll probably be one of the top three guys, betting-wise, who's going to be most likely to win the MVP again.
Right. So, you can't really hold on to both of them, obviously, as Belichick and all of them know, because that completely gridlocks you. That takes up like a friggin' quarter of the cap space for next year, if you do sign Jimmy at 17 mil, which just ruins the team for a fucking year. So count yourselves out of that year, which nobody wants. then Jimmy's sitting there going, I can make 20 to 25 mil on the open market. Why am I going to sign with these guys? I know what I got. I'm not going to sit here and wait. They want me to sit here and wait for 5 million less than I can get. There's so many factors to it. It's not as cut and dry as, oh, Kraft wanted Tom and Bill didn't want to trade Jimmy and that's that. It's like, no, we have, there is so much that goes into this. Do you want to, can we pay Jimmy that? Are we going to trade Tom for two or three first rounders? How would that fucking factor in? Like,
you have to have a massive list of all the pluses and downsides on both
exactly.
sides.
And it's, and I mean, when you look at it, it's like, okay, like you said, and if it came down to when they were looking at it, they're like, well, what should we do? And Kraft probably ultimately said, you know what, after all this, let's just stay with Tom and get what we can for Jimmy, because that financially seems like the best fucking deal to us. Because you can't pay a backup quarterback more than your fucking MVP starter.
Well, the reality of the situation is that when Tom Brady's playing at an MVP level, what he's meant to this organization, this community, whatever you want to say, you just can't get rid of him or even plan to get rid of him while he's playing at this level. Just whatever the age is next to his name.
Right.
You can't get rid of him.
You can't.
So you can't hang on. There were no signs that you'd be able to hang on to Jimmy Garoppolo until Brady was no longer playing at an MVP level, because he's shown no signs of degradation, unless you're going to read a ton into the December performance, which dipped people.
There was all kinds of ways. Exactly. I mean,
unless
people
you
are just
that.
Another. Yeah. And everyone's, oh, Brady has dipped. Oh, he has fallen off. And it's like, we've talked about that, but clearly you guys have known nothing about football, because we've seen what Brady does when he doesn't have receivers he's comfortable with.
Oh, but did you see Peyton Manning in the second half of 2014 when it all fell apart? That was a rhetorical question. I'm going to answer.
Yeah.
The Peyton Manning played pretty fucking awful the second half of 2014. And anybody that watched any of those games knows that he couldn't throw the ball outside the numbers.
No,
that
he couldn't
remained,
throw the ball.
Remained the problem for the rest of his career. And that's why he had to be carried to a Super Bowl title. He wasn't even one of the top. He might have not been one of the top 10 players on that team, in
probably
all honesty.
Not. No, I don't think he was.
Isn't that crazy?
That is nuts to think about.
Yeah, probably was.
I mean, Brady can still fire the ball.
Sling it. He's making reads. He can put the ball where he wants to put it. That's not what's happening. This is not a physical breakdown. This is other things. These are extraneous circumstances.
He had no receivers he'd thrown to for more than a year, or more than really 6 months. That's a problem.
Yeah, they really only threw to Gronk in two games in December. He lit people up in both of those games.
Yeah, I mean, he's still trying to get a grasp with Cooks. He's not on the same page with Dorsett. Kenny Britt just walked in. They're not trying to get Amendola hurt. So it's like, okay, you know, he's limited. Rex Burkhead's hurt. James White's been hurt. It's like Hogan wasn't there. Hogan was his guy.
Yeah.
Hogan was his guy, and everyone's, oh, well, he means nothing. Oh, really? Look at his last year's stats. Tell me he meant nothing to that team.
Mm-hmm.
It's insane. It's insane what people are saying. So
I have one more point I wanted to make, and we've made it on this podcast before. I just want to remind everybody, when you put the franchise tag on a player, you cannot trade that player until they sign the franchise tag.
Right.
So, but that would put him out in the open market. So if we franchise tag Jimmy Garoppolo, he doesn't sign the tender. We now have $24 million or whatever the quarterback thing is locked away in him. So we are essentially sitting out free agency, might have to watch some really impactful players on our team leave. Nate Solder, Deion Lewis, Rex Burkhead. I know I'm missing a bunch of other guys. Malcolm Butler. We would have to watch these guys sign with other teams because we have $24 million locked into our franchise tag guy who is not signed, so we can't trade him. So we're literally stuck.
And he might not start for you. He might not even fucking play.
Dude, you're missing the point here.
No, I know what you're saying.
Is they are transferring all the power over to Jimmy. Now, I know he would be a free agent and he would be available for other teams to sign him, but they would have to give us like two first round picks or something if they sign somebody under franchise tag. Maybe that doesn't happen if you try to try to erase from your mind the last 2 months of Jimmy playing in San Fran. When you go back to, this is a guy who played, as I said before, six quarters and got hurt.
Yeah.
Former second round pick. Mid-range school in college. I don't know if people are ready to give up two first-round picks and a massive contract to sign him at that level. Whereas right now, as he's going into free agency, people definitely would.
Yeah.
Without a doubt, you'd be stupid not to.
Right.
But when you try to factor those things in, you realize what the downsides would have been to franchise tagging him. You would give him all the power. You'd have to lose a bunch of your guys. And then you're still not sure what the return on investment would be, what the return on trading him at a franchise tag value would be. Yeah. Whereas we traded him to San Fran and got what we thought was a very high second round pick. And we gave them the ability to franchise tag him by trading him before his contract was up. Now, I think the big thing about that trade that we may have glossed over previously and really looks bad, really bad in hindsight, and will for probably the next decade, is the fact that we only got a second round pick for him.
Yeah.
And we only talked to one team about it. And I know Joe Thomas has been all over Twitter saying that the Patriots wanted to trade Jimmy to a situation that was stable so that he did not leave in free agency and sign with an AFC East team,
which
or an AFC rival.
Complete sense.
It does, but and then you're like, holy shit, was that worth it? Like, because the Browns guy who just got fired came out and said that he was willing to give them the fourth overall pick, the Houston Texans pick,
right,
as well as other probably picks or players, whatever it is.
Well,
and are you saying that that is worth it to go from the fourth pick overall to the 42nd or whatever it is, plus whatever else you were missing, just to keep this guy off your schedule, possibly off your schedule?
Well, the Browns thing is interesting because I did read an article that Belichick is fed up trading with the Browns. And the reason he didn't go with them because he was the last trade with Jamie Collins. He was very pissed off the way it ended and the way went through or something.
What happened?
I don't know. The details of it didn't come out, but he was flustered. He was not happy with the way it went through. Plus, there were reports. Now, the Browns guy can say all he wants, but the reality of what the Browns did is the Monday when we started making calls, the Browns office, front office left at 5. And Belichick probably didn't even get starting talking about it until after that. And then the Browns finally, when they saw Jimmy Garoppolo got traded, they made a play for a quarterback, and they didn't get the trade in. They were celebrating as it was happening, as the trade deadline passed before it was signed through.
Mm-hmm.
So that could be part of the frustration that Belichick's talking about, or that people are talking about when he says, well, I don't want to fucking deal with them again because their heads are so far up their ass. They couldn't even get a goddamn trade done before the deadline. They were celebrating before it got signed through, and it got voided.
Yeah.
Sounds like a bunch of retards to me.
Yeah, there's no evidence, though, that he called any team besides the Niners. And even calling the Niners, there should have been a higher deal than that.
Yeah.
The Niners might have given up – no, not the Niners. The Bears might have given up more last year to move from the third overall pick to the second overall pick.
They said that Bill asked for a second.
Everyone knows he likes seconds.
So
he likes it, but there's no reason you can't have a second this year and a second next year
or whatever,
a second and a third. Or,
but that also might say something.
Why? What does it say?
Might say that
he left shit on the table. That sounds stupid.
No, that maybe he didn't think he was worth more than that.
Well, he'd be wrong because right now he's worth
in hindsight. It's very easy to say that.
Yeah.
Like you said, he
saw him practice for 3.5 years or whatever it was. Michael Lombardi has a podcast. He was there for years. And he has said how good he thought Jimmy was and how good everybody thought Jimmy was from watching him practice day in, day out.
Right. So
everybody believed he was a great player.
He could have traded him to Arizona. I mean, there was a few teams that he could have gone to and got more from.
Yeah. I think that's probably the lasting story for me is how did they not call at least one other team?
But that's the thing. Maybe he didn't fucking
think
what
you're saying.
Maybe he didn't. I'm saying Bill might have not thought he was worth it.
That doesn't mean people wouldn't have been willing to pay more. They were willing to pay more. It is like ostensibly fact.
Well, that's where this thing comes in that we traded him to San Fran so Tom wouldn't go there or something.
What? But he didn't hear that one.
Yeah, there's a big thing.
Oh, please. Like, Brady's going to leave well, first of all, he's under contract. He can't.
I don't think he'd go to – he's pissed. He's still pissed at San Fran. He still talks about them that they skipped over him.
They took Giovanni Carmazzi.
Yeah.
The guy didn't even appear in the Brady 6 documentary.
But it could also be the fact that he knew that he wasn't going to get much more for – I don't know. He likes
– You got to call two teams.
He loves Kyle. He loves Kyle Shanahan.
I'm not on board with you doing a favor for your buddy, for John Lynch, who spent a preseason with the Patriots. at the tail end of his career. I am not on board for you doing a favor for somebody.
I'm not either, but Bill we've trusted up to this point, and Bill I trust with that decision, you know?
I would like to know I would like to have an explanation.
We have no knowledge that he didn't call more than one team.
We have no knowledge that he did. And a lot of people have said he didn't call any more than one team.
See, I don't. Who are these people?
I don't know, man.
I don't believe any.
I just don't know.
I don't believe any.
Anyway,
I don't. So
okay, that was a long ass discussion about a stupid article.
The one thing I want to finish up with is that if people think that Kraft, Brady, and Belichick haven't had a disagreement of massive proportions in the almost 20 year span with all the winning they've done and all the shit that they've gone through, if you think that they haven't had any ridiculous disagreements, you're insane. Look at 2006 season. I can guarantee that was way more turmoil that year than this year.
2006. What was in 2006?
Brady had no receivers.
Oh yeah,
no
that was
running
awful.
Backs.
Hey, he Doug Gabriel was a player.
Nobody. And we all knew it going into it. He had nobody, and everyone was bullshit about it. You're talking about there wasn't some tough conversations in that building that year to lead them going to get Randy Moss.
Oh, guaranteed, man.
I'm sure they were flipping out on each other. 2009, when they got their asses spanked by the Ravens, there was some tough shit going on in our locker room. 2010, when we got spanked in the fucking after having a bye and all this shit by the fucking Jets, they probably had some huge arguments about that. To say that they didn't, that's any different than this year is ludicrous. And to say they'd all throw it away because of a few disagreements, that just doesn't happen. They'll probably get up next to it. They go, oh, this is still great. You know, we're still in a pretty good situation. It's not all terrible.
Yeah, there's obviously been plenty of argument. I mean, the Belichick letting Wes Welker leave after 2012, where Brady is in Welker's wedding. Like, they're super buddies.
Yeah, you don't
Vince
think that
Wilfork
pissed him off?
Vince Wilfork getting let go after 2014. Wilfork was like a son to Bob Kraft. He called him his fifth son.
Yeah. Richard Seymour.
You don't think that was pretty hard for Kraft to watch Belichick cut him?
Yeah. Richard Seymour, them trading him off to Oakland.
Yeah, I was talking more about emotional connections. But
still,
sure.
I mean, he was unbelievable.
Yeah.
He was the best player on the team at that point.
He is gone. The closest, I would say, of the people who have won Super Bowls with the Patriots, he is the closest to a Hall of Famer besides Brady.
He was unbelievable.
Richard Seymour, I guess Revis. Who else?
Ty Law.
I think Seymour is a better player than Ty Law was.
Think so?
Yeah.
There's another one, Ty Law. What about Lawyer Malloy when we just released him after the fucking first Super Bowl? There's a huge list of these things that have gone on.
Lawyer always gets, when they talk about, you know, that standard line, the Patriots let go of a player a year too early rather than a year too late. And they always lump Lawyer Malloy into that. Lawyer Malloy played like another 8 seasons.
Yeah, I know.
He played for fucking ever. Yeah. Like a year too early. Oh, about a decade too early.
Well, that's what he did, and it worked out.
It got Rodney Harrison on the field. That's what it did.
Absolutely.
Okay.
So now to the Tennessee game.
Off the field stuff. So last weekend, the Titans come back from a big time deficit against the Chiefs. They were down, what, 21-3?
Yeah.
So 18-point deficit. Chiefs lose their tight end. Titans have a couple lucky plays, notably the Mariota pass and catch touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
More or less, they just gave it to Derrick Henry offensively.
Yeah.
And he moved the ball down the field a good amount. There were some special teams issues as well. Derrick Henry finished everything off at the very end of the game, too. So it wasn't. I think we learned more about the Chiefs than we did about the Titans that game.
I knew that about the Chiefs. I didn't learn nothing about the Chiefs. Everyone was saying first quarter, well, looks like this game's over. I was like, it's a long game, fellas. And they're, oh, well, have you seen it? And I was like, well, you know, I was working at the time, so I was trying to catch it when I could. And I was, now, you know, this is playoff football. Anything can happen. Travis Kelce goes down, and boom, they had nothing. I mean, look at Mariota's stats, for Christ's sake. He didn't kill it. He threw for 205 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception. I mean, nothing great.
Yeah, and basically all they have through the air is Delanie Walker. Eric Decker makes plays. Eric Decker is not a bad player.
Isn't he hurt? I thought he's out for the season.
No, he caught a touchdown that game.
Really? Oh, well,
yeah.
Shows you how much I watched the game.
Decker's good.
I've always liked Rishard Matthews, but he hasn't done anything this year.
He's a good athlete. He makes plays sometimes.
Well, he's got Marcus Mariota throwing to him. That's the problem. So, yeah, the Titans suck.
They're not very good. They're aggressively mediocre.
Yeah, they lost three of their last four games, barely making it to the playoffs somehow, in one of the worst divisions in football. Probably one of the easiest schedules of the year. Statistically, they're pretty bad. They're as mediocre as it gets, as you said. On offense, they're 19th in scoring, 23rd in total yards, 23rd in passing yards, 15th in rushing yards. Defensively, they're 17th overall, 13th in yards allowed, 25th in passing, 4th in rushing. So they can stop the run, they can't stop the pass. That doesn't bode well, regardless of what they can do.
Yeah, that sounds like it's good news for us.
Yeah.
Can't stop the pass. Sure. We'll sit back there and chuck it. The Titans' defense is probably better than their offense, which isn't saying that much. But they run a classic 3-4. Dick LeBeau, longtime Steelers defensive coordinator, is running that system. The guy's 80.
He's still 80. Killing it.
Two-time Hall of Famer, beast as a player and a coach. They got Sylvester Williams at nose tackle, former first-round pick. Jarrell Casey is a Pro Bowler at one of the defensive ends. On the outside, this is probably the strength of their team. Brian Arakpo, Derek Morgan, and Eric Walden are edge rushers. And then also on the inside, very underrated player, Wesley Woodyard. Do you remember him on the Broncos?
Yeah,
he's undersized, he's short, but he's a tackling monster.
Yep.
Very similar to London Fletcher, but a little bit skinnier. On the back end, our old friend Logan Ryan, kicking around, getting to see some of his former Rutgers and Patriots teammates this week. And Adoree Jackson, their first round pick, starts opposite him at the other cornerback position. And then at safeties, they got a couple guys I've never heard of.
Kevin Byard is actually really good.
Yeah?
I think he got some all-pro recognition.
He have 8 picks this year? There was one of
second
these guys.
Second team,
all-pro.
He had a Byard did.
Yeah.
So he's a good player back there. He's definitely got some recognition. Fairly new to the game. Mm-hmm. But yeah. I mean,
we're going to have to attack them through the pass. We're going to probably be pretty balanced, I would imagine. The big thing that worries me, Jarrell Casey is a handful, particularly in pass blocking, which can be an issue at times for our interior guys. I'm looking at you, Joe Tooney.
Yeah.
And so that would be my primary concern. The edge guys are good. Derek Morgan, Arakpo, I mentioned those. They're good, but they're not Chargers good.
They're not game changers. Mm-hmm. No. They're solid. I mean,
they're better than basically anything we have on the edge.
Outside of, I'd take, what's his name over them? Flowers.
But Flowers plays a lot on the interior.
Regardless.
Yeah.
So the only chance this defense has against us is if they can play, like you said, pressure up the middle is what you're worried about. If they take these guys, Arakpo and Morgan, and somehow put them in stunts so they can get rushing up the middle and they can disrupt Brady from the middle. That is the only chance that this team has, and they have to do it not only once or twice, but the whole fucking game to be able to slow us down. I mean, we've talked about at length in the past couple of weeks all the players that we have on offense coming back for this game. And you know, even defense, too, but especially offense.
Everybody's practicing.
James White.
Burkhead's practicing.
Burkhead's back. I mean, it's like those three guys right there were our offense for weeks 5 to 10, or weeks 5 through 8, or whatever the hell it was. And then they slowly went down. So that was part of the reason that Brady lost his production. But, I mean, Burkhead had some really productive games. Hogan is the guy over the middle that we've been missing that'll catch the ball in traffic. James White is Mr. Clutch, who we just haven't had. It's going to be, I mean,
we've been missing some good players. It's going to be great to have them back.
They don't have anybody to cover friggin' Cooks down the speedster. I mean, they'll put Logan on Chris Hogan.
No. Oh, yeah. I was going to say, they're not going to put Logan on Brandon Cooks.
No. They'll put Logan on Chris Hogan. Yeah. And they have absolutely nobody to cover Gronk.
Well, nobody does. I don't know what their choice is going to be for covering Gronk, but everybody knows what Gronk has done against the Steelers. And Dick LeBeau was the guy running the defense for the Steelers for a long-ass time, and now he's with the Titans, and his former protege runs the Steelers defense, and then we saw what Gronk still did to that defense. There's just no reason that Gronk shouldn't go off in this game if they ask him to.
Yeah.
They might put the shackles on him a little bit. I'm not sure. And I actually don't know how many of those people that practice this week are going to be active for this game, because I feel like the Patriots really should be very confident going into this, particularly offensively.
Yeah, they definitely should.
Defensively, they have to make sure that they can physically stand up, because you're talking about a massive running back, a very good offensive line. So I think defensively, they have to make sure that they can hold the point of attack. But offensively, it's going to be a matter of execution, and they execute.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how much they're going to rely on Gronkowski. If they feel like they're rushing Hogan back, will they wait a week and spring him loose on the Steelers? I'm just not sure, especially Burkhead. I feel like Burkhead might sit this game out.
Burkhead's one I'd give you, but I think Hogan and James White are going.
Yeah,
I think
definitely
so.
Could. I just mentioned on the other side of the ball that the Titans' offensive line is probably the strength of this team, actually. I think I misspoke before. Taylor Lewin at left tackle, fiery dude. He's very good. Very good at left tackle. Yeah. Jack Conklin at right tackle, former first-round pick out of Michigan State. He is arguably the best right tackle in the NFL. So tremendous bookends for them. They got Ben Jones at center, former Texan. Josh Klein, our old friend, playing right guard, was always a solid guy, right around average, but serviceable. Quentin Spain is the left guard there. Delanie Walker, best player on this, best skill player on the offense.
100%.
Yeah, Delanie Walker is an absolute stud. Patty Chung's going to have his hands full. But
I think he double cover him.
With who? You think McCourty and Chung? Or you think a linebacker and Chung?
I'd honestly put Gilmore on him.
And who else, if you're talking about double teaming him?
Chung.
Chung and Gilmore.
Why not?
Wow. That's some resources on a tight end.
He's literally their offense.
Yeah.
Okay,
I know.
Let's put it in perspective for you. Marcus Mariota is 62-point completion percentage. He has 13 touchdowns and 15 interceptions. Okay? Not a great year. So, clearly, the guy he likes throwing to in his bailout is Delanie Walker. Take away the bailout. Take away that crutch he limps on.
None of those stats you just mentioned had anything to do with Delanie Walker.
No, but it's the fact that he's not a good quarterback. He's average, and he's got a serious guy that he only throws the ball to. So if you take that away from him, what is he going to throw to?
Yeah, Mariota is not playing like a good quarterback right now.
Mariota is not good at throwing a Decker. He's only got 560 yards on the year. Rishard Matthews has fucking 790. He's had an okay year. I mean, it's not like he can – both of them have 50 receptions. Delanie Walker has 74. That's the guy who bails out. That's probably who he goes to on third downs. I'd love to see how many third downs he's got. It's probably a lot. Take him out of the game. Take him out of the fucking game.
I understand. That's Patrick Chung's job.
Yeah, but if Chung gets lit up, put two guys on him. I don't care.
Yeah, they'll make adjustments if that happens. I think you're going to see a lot of chipping him at the line of scrimmage.
Yep.
A lot of jams, and then Patty Chung picking them up downfield. I think that's probably what we'll see. They have big receivers on the outside. Rishard Matthews is not that big, but the other guys, Eric Decker and Corey Davis. Corey Davis is that rookie that they took like fifth overall this year, which I thought he was a good prospect, but that was a stretch.
Yeah,
he belonged around 15 or 20.
Mm-hmm.
He was injured for a lot of the season, but he's a terrific athlete. Had massive production at Western Michigan, gigantic production.
Here
and
we go.
Eric Decker's the wily veteran.
Time to bet on Corey Davis. Sean just jinxed him.
I definitely
going to catch the first touchdown if there is one.
Why? Because I talked about Eli Rogers.
You did that. You've done that every single fucking game this year.
I called it.
You opposite call. You go where? I don't know where he's been. He's got so much talent. He does this. He does that. Great. Does that. And then all of a sudden, boom. They do it great. That one game we play the Pats. It's happened like six times this season.
That sounds like I called it. That doesn't sound like jinxing anything.
Definitely jinxing it.
Maybe I jinxed the defense. But yeah, like I said, Eric Decker's got good size. We know that. He's very physical. Corey Davis is more of a separation guy than Decker is, but also 6'3". So I think that's where Gilmore belongs, is probably on Decker.
Yeah.
And Rishard Matthews will probably see Malcolm Butler, and then Corey Davis should go up against Eric Rowe.
Yeah.
Is the way I would do it. We talked a lot about their receiving weapons, but really this is a Marcus Mariota and Derrick Henry particularly game on the run, running the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Derrick Henry had, what do you have, like 23 carries for $150 last week?
Yeah.
He just ground down that defense. And we've seen that going back to his Alabama days for sure. And I'm not the first to say this is not original, but he is so big, he wears you down. He's got separation type speed, which is very tricky. And that's got to be the focus of this game, is containing him and keeping Mariota in the pocket.
Yeah. They're going to do that controlled type rush we've seen over the years with that Belichick likes to do.
And it's
going to
be infuriating everybody. There's going to be seven guys in coverage, and you're going to be like, get the fucking quarterback. 7 seconds later, he's going to throw it into a contested coverage.
Yeah, that's what they're going to do. You know, if they get the lead, they'll start going after him more, but they're going to keep him in the pocket. That's what they want to do, and only try and sack him if they have a guaranteed sack.
Exactly. Because,
I mean, like you said, it was basically that. He ran for 46 yards last game.
Mariota did
8 times. I bet most of those were fucking third downs. So
yeah. They had 195 yards passing and 202 yards rushing. They're a running team.
Yeah.
That's the focus. As good as Delanie Walker is, he deserves a lot of focus too, but it's about the running game. And so that's one of the reasons that it's really great that Alan Branch is back at practice too. And he said today that he feels good to go this weekend.
Yeah.
So even though Lawrence Guy and Malcolm Brown have been playing great, it's good to have depth options.
Absolutely. You can put Alan Branch in there. You got Van Noy probably coming back full speed this game, which is going to be huge. James Harrison, hopefully he makes some plays.
Yeah, coming off the bye week, and a lot of these guys who have sat out multiple weeks recuperating, we should have a lot of fresh bodies ready to go.
Yeah.
And I would just really love if this turned out to be like a tune-up game. You know, like,
oh yeah,
this is stolen from the longest yard, but at the beginning of the season, they play like Alcorn State and beat the fuck out of them.
Appalachian State.
I'm not quoting it exactly. I'm quoting the idea. But yeah, I'm hoping that it's like that, and we just get this dominating victory where we get our confidence up, we're feeling fucking great, and then we get to face Steelers or Jaguars, whoever it is, next week.
Yeah.
We get to take care of business. Last thing I wanted to say about the Titans, they have possibly the best kicker in the NFL.
Really?
Ryan Succop is a machine. He is an absolute machine. That dude
is incredibly
consistent. I think he hit like 30 some odd straight field goals or something. I can't remember what it was. But he had a terrific streak. It might have been only 20, but he had a great streak going. He's a good player.
Wow. That's crazy.
Yeah, that's all I wanted to say.
So if
they're close games, which this is not looking like it, but you never know. Especially it's supposed to be rainy, right?
It's supposed to be like the very similar conditions to 2 years ago or last year. When was the flake game? 2014 Colts game.
2014.
When it was like 40 degrees and kind of rainy, like misty.
Yeah. There was also the Colts playoff game the year before that. That was also rainy and a little bit warm. Remember LeGarrette Blount had 3 rushing touchdowns? And we're all like, I can't believe the Steelers cut him.
Yeah, exactly.
Actually, that was the year before they cut him, I think.
So
yeah, do you have a prediction for this game? I'm going to go with 29.
29, huh?
29, man. There's going to be something weird.
35-10.
35-10. Handle it. What's the spread?
13.5, I think. Or it was. I don't know if it's moved, but
I hope it doesn't get to 14, because some squirrely things happen when it gets to 14. Patriots beat the Rams in 2001. Giants beat the Patriots in 2007. 14
really?
Is a weird spread, I'm telling you.
That's funny.
You can probably find 1,000 examples of a 14-point spread that didn't happen like that.
Yeah, right. I know. I was just going to say. But rest of the weekend, you've got first game, Atlanta goes to Philly, which is Philly should beat the shit out of them, but they have no quarterback. So Atlanta's favored for the first time as a 6 seed going to a 1 seed.
Atlanta comes in.
Shit, interesting.
What do you got playing on there?
What?
Nothing. Atlanta comes in as the defending conference champion, and they're definitely playing pretty hot football right now.
Mm-hmm.
They're on a roll. They've got experience. They feel like they can execute on the road after just winning. Who did they beat? The Panthers last week.
No, the Falcons?
No, yeah. Who the Falcons beat? They beat the Rams.
Rams.
That's what it was.
Rams, yeah.
Yeah, so they went for a long trip, beat a good team on the road, outdoor facility. Weather's going to be a challenge for them. Philadelphia, they're a dome team. That's going to be a challenge, but they really... It's hard to just boil these things down to a quarterback, but sometimes that's the way it goes.
Yeah.
I wonder if the defensive line and pass rush for the Eagles is so good, and Jim Schwartz has been so crafty this season.
It's going to be a very low scoring game, and it's like whoever has the ball last type of thing.
I don't know. It's a tough one. I would probably lean towards the Eagles, even though the Falcons are playing so well. I just think that that defensive front is monstrous.
Too good to overcome?
At home, if it was a different team, if it was the Vikings going in there or something, I would take the Vikings. If it was the Saints going in, I'd take the Saints.
Mm.
There's just something about the Falcons. I guess I just still don't believe in them.
That they
just That's what it is.
Fall apart, yeah.
That's what it is. I'm not even using my head. This is a gut thing.
So we've got that. I think Atlanta takes it, but that's just me. I could be completely wrong. I think it's going to be really close. Philly could take it, but I think it's going to come down to last possession type of thing.
It's going to be a good one.
Then at one, so we have the Patriots at 8:15. The next one is Jacksonville at Pittsburgh, which is a very interesting game because Pittsburgh's supposed to be the favorite, and they are. But the last time these two met, Jacksonville beat the shit out of them.
It was also in Jacksonville. The Steelers were in a bit of a drought at that point. That was clearly the low point.
Yeah. This is the game that Big Ben threw five picks after. Everyone was questioning if he still had it. He was questioning himself if he still had it. It was, like you said, a low point in the season. It'd be surprised if that happened again, but that fucking Jacksonville D-man. Jalen Ramsey is a freak. He is going to shut down whoever they put on him.
Yeah, and Antonio Brown is pegged to come back in this game after the calf injury he suffered against the Pats. So it remains to be seen what type of quickness he has.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even know. I can't think of any injuries he's had previously besides concussions.
Yeah, they're saying that he's 100%. There is no way with that injury he's 100%.
He had like a hole in his calf, right?
Yeah, there's no way. He snapped his leg, it looked like, so.
Yeah, I don't know what the matchups that the Jaguars will use. I don't even really know what coverage they like to play mostly. But Jalen Ramsey is a taller, lengthier guy. And maybe they think that they could put A.J. Boye on Antonio Brown with safety help. And then they can use Jalen Ramsey on Juju or on Martavis. They should get crafty. The thing, Jacksonville should go in there with nothing to lose. They should just let it rip. They should go in with that type of attitude.
Absolutely.
And they have the type of talent to make an upset happen. Granted,
Bortles
being your quarterback is your hamstrung big time. Yeah. They need at least two more turnovers, two more takeaways than the Steelers get. And my money's on Jacksonville turning the ball over at least once.
Yeah.
So that means they got to have like three takeaways. They're probably going to need to have a special teams play. There's a lot. Everything's got to go right for them.
Yeah. Actually, I didn't say it for the Patriots. I think Marcus Mariota is going to throw. The Patriots have been lacking a little bit in, like, in-game
adjustments.
No, picks. What? Like, where we just get a pick randomly. We'll get a pick to end the game, but we don't get, random picks anymore. I think Mariota is going to throw two right in the middle. One in the second, one in the third.
Just sandwich halftime with interceptions.
Yep, pretty much. Last game.
Oh, remembered we didn't even mention that DeMarco Murray isn't playing this game.
Yeah.
FYI, everybody, DeMarco Murray, their starting running back, former Pro Bowler, not playing. So it's Derrick Henry all day.
Yep.
Final game. This is definitely the best one of the weekend.
Yeah.
I'm so amped for this game.
New Orleans going into Minnesota. I think it's Minnesota's is to lose.
Oh, man. The Saints are playing so well.
I know. Their running backs are beasts. Their defense is playing good.
Yeah, their defense, Cam Newton played well enough in that game. Sometimes Cam just drops an egg. He just comes out and lays an egg. He doesn't have it. He had it in that game. He was playing pretty well, especially in the second half.
Yeah.
But that defense held firm. The Panthers took away the running game. Drew Brees won it. They proved that they are as balanced a team as there is right now outside of, I don't even know, Minnesota maybe. You can make an argument that Minnesota is the most balanced team out there. But they're going into Minnesota. They're hosting at the Dome. They have like all this. I mean, how long have the Vikings been around? Like 60, 70 years.
Yeah.
And like 60 years, I think. And never won anything. Lost a ton of Super Bowls. Lost every significant game in their history. And you wonder, is this the year? The Super Bowl is going to be there. But on the field, the Vikings defense is stifling. Stifling. It's incredible.
And they're nasty. Great front. Probably the best front four we're seeing right now.
Yeah, I would say so. But the Eagles are right there too. That's a tough call. And you wonder how they're going to be able to deal with a very balanced and talented offense in the Saints. And then the real question is, can the Vikings offense score enough points to keep up with the Saints? The Saints are going to get some points.
They're going to score. Yeah, they're going to. Well, they've been held the last couple weeks to not a lot of points.
They had 31 last week.
Okay, not last week, but the weeks before. But yeah, they're going to score. I mean, they're going to score.
Kamara back. Their last point totals are 24, 23, 31, 17, 31.
Okay, I don't know what I'm talking about then. Maybe I saw the 17 game and thought they were trash or something.
I think they're going to get at least 20, and it's like, can the Vikings put that much up?
Is Case for real?
Yeah, that's really the big question in this
game. Is Case for real? And we'll find out.
Yeah, it's going to be so much fun. That's going to be a great game. The NFC games. God damn it, the NFC games are so much better. Do you think it's just because the Patriots and Steelers are so good? Or it's that the rest of the AFC is so bad?
I think the rest of it, well, it's a little of both.
Obviously, it's
nobody,
both.
Nobody's out there league, but
the gap between those top two teams and the rest AFC of it is way too
terrible.
Big.
Terrible.
Yeah. I would lean that way, considering if you told me before the season that the divisional round of the playoffs was going to feature the Titans and the Jaguars, I would have spit in your face.
Right. Literally.
That's a joke.
It's a joke.
What about Chiefs, Chargers, Raiders? Bills, or not even the Bills, but the Bengals, Ravens, Texans, Colts. No. The Titans and the Jaguars. Not only are they going to get into the playoffs, they're going to win playoff games. Yeah. Both of them.
Both of them.
Fuck you. You would say to somebody, I wonder what the odds were.
It's a joke.
Before the year. That would be an absolute joke.
It's hilarious.
I think that's all I got, man.
Yeah.
It's playoff football.
Here we go. It's ready to roll.
All right. Enjoy the game, everybody. We'll talk to you next week.
Adios.
See ya.